Hey, health junkies. It's time for The Health Fix. Join your host, Dr. Janine Krause, as she gives you a dose of what you need to know and do right now to take control of your health from the inside out, to rebel against aging, look damn good, fight stress, and laugh every day.
Hello there, health junkies. Welcome to another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause. And today's show is all about why you need to take a vacation. I find it appropriate because this is going to be released in the summertime. And I have just come back from a vacation. So the memory of what it feels like to be on vacation is very fresh in my mind. And so I'm wanting to share with you the benefits of taking a vacation. Now, not too long ago, I felt bad about taking vacations. I felt like I was letting my patients down when I was gone for a week or so. And I came to realize that I need to have this time away to be able to focus better and give my patients better care. And so, that being said, the summer is my most favorite time of the year, and I do take 1 week every single month, so June, July, and August, of vacation, because it's absolutely crucial for me because I love outdoor sports, in particular paddleboarding, I love hiking. Pretty much just being outside doing anything is great, but being on water is one of my favorite things. And so I'm coming back from a vacation in Caslo, British Columbia, which is my most favorite place in the whole universe to be because it's quiet and because it is on this amazing lake that's over 100 miles long. And it's just, wow, what can I say? You get out on this lake and you're like, maybe see like 3 to 4 boats while you're out there. And you just feel like you're surrounded by nature because, well, you are. There's these huge, glorious mountains jutting up from the water, and eagles are flying over you. And, what can I say? In the distance, you can see some of these higher peaks like the Purcell Mountains and all those wonderful areas where people go cat skiing in the winter. But in the summer, it's so beautiful just to look out at them. The water in the lake is warm enough, so if you fall in, it's no big deal. It's deep in some areas, but when you're towards the edges, you can see how clear and pristine the water truly is. You can see the fish swimming around in there. Hopefully that doesn't scare you. It creeps me out a little bit, let's just say. But I love the water so much that I can overlook that. Plus, taking my dogs out, it's just, oh, it's so much fun to get them on paddle boards. But what's even more amazing than that is I don't know the actual population of Caslo, British Columbia, but there's not that many people there. And I love that. And I love the fact that I can get on a lake and there's no constant drone or hum of airplane or something overhead. It's just this amazing quietness of nature where you hear the water lapping up against the beach or the rocks as you're paddling. You can hear yourself paddling, and there's not this like loud roar of boats going by in all different directions and people screaming and hooting and hollering. It's just this amazing quiet and peace that I've not found too many other places, that's for sure. And it's in that peace and quiet where your mind can really truly relax and just rejuvenate itself. Because I don't think a lot of us really realize how much noise is constant in our everyday life and in the cities that we live in. If you're lucky enough to live in the country, my goodness, you know what it's like to hear birds chirp, and you know what it's like to hear crickets at night. Here in Tacoma, Washington, where I live, I unfortunately am in the flight path of the Air Force Base, Joint Base Lewis-McChord, and so I get to hear planes going over a lot. And at first, I was like, ooh, planes are cool, I love them. Now I don't like them as much. In addition to being in the flight pattern for Joint Base Lewis-McChord, I'm also in the flight pattern for SeaTac Airport going into Seattle. And so I'm constantly inundated with airplanes and going to a place where I saw maybe 3 seaplanes fly over me in the course of a week while we were up there. So magical. So stinking magical. So, let's talk about statistics on vacations. 52% of the American population did not take their vacation in 2017. That left $62.2 billion in benefits lost. And if you average that out among these individuals, that's $561 not used. You're literally paying your employer to work for them. And being an employer, that's awful. My assistant, my goodness, I would feel awful if she didn't take her vacation time. I pretty much give her 5 to 6 weeks a year, because whenever I'm gone, she gets to be off. And you know what? Vacation time's important. I want her to be chill and happy. And I think a lot of employers do want this. They just don't know how to express that. And they also don't know how to work with coverage when people are gone and productivity. And so there's this hush-hush thing about vacation, which is so crazy. Now, another biggie is, like I just said, this barrier to taking a vacation. You know, you don't have coverage. There's not enough employees in your office. Someone's already out on, let's say, maternity leave or something of that nature. Or, unfortunately, in the society that we live in, the older that you are, the more that you're afraid that you're going to be replaced. And so you don't want to take a vacation because you don't want to be replaceable. And in fact, 61% of the individuals that took the survey for projecttimeoff.com, you can check out their website, it's kind of cool. It has a lot of data on travel and vacations and things of that nature. But 61% didn't want to look replaceable. 56% said that they had too heavy of a workload and lack of coverage, like I had mentioned. 54% said they have pets that they can't leave, or vacation is too much of a hassle, and they were worried about safety concerns. I take my dogs everywhere. If we can't take the dog somewhere, we usually don't go. Except for the Cayman Islands, it's too hard to take the pets there, so we leave them with friends. But that's the only place that we don't take our dogs to. Those dogs go everywhere. It's called bringfido.com. Go to that website, and you will find out restaurants, hotels, pet-friendly establishments all around. Even in the world, there's a bunch of Canadian spots listed on there, too. So check that out, bringfido.com. You get the app, you can like run with it on the fly. Sometimes if we don't have somewhere to stay and we've been out paddleboarding all day and we want to crash somewhere, I will use it, and it's a really great time saver on the fly. So bringfido.com. So those 54% folks that said that they can't go on vacation because they're worried about their pets, I'm sorry, use bringfido.com, especially if your pets are dogs. Now, 53% said they couldn't take a vacation because of cost. Well, there's a thing called staycation. I'm sure we've all kind of heard of that term, but it's a real thing. And most of us haven't even explored our own towns and parks and things of that nature. And I'll tell you a little bit later about some disturbing statistics on how many people haven't even checked out national parks within the United States. Now, the other 52% said that they don't want to be away from kids and their routine. Well, I could see that to a point, but man, these barriers, what the heck? I don't know, not my thing. Now, there's another thing about being a work martyr, and I used to be in this category. I definitely wanted to prove myself in a couple of the positions that I had, and I really wanted to be seen as a work martyr so that my boss would promote me, or my boss would, you know, see me as irreplaceable. And unfortunately, the sad reality is that it doesn't pan out. These folks who are 38% said they wanted to be seen as a work martyr. I don't know who these people are, but that's not good for your, it's not good for your health. And if you're a work martyr and you're listening to this, I'm telling you, it is not good for your health. Because if you just work and work and work and work and work, and don't take breaks, you don't let your mind rest. You don't unplug. That, I think, is the biggest thing. And that's one of the biggest things that I love about Canada. It's $5 a day for me to have phone service in Canada with Verizon. But you know what? $5. You know, it doesn't seem like a lot, but in my mind, I was like, $5 saved. If I save $5, that's like saving my brain. I don't have to look at news reports. I don't have to look at tweets. I don't have to look at anything. That's brain savings right there. Irregardless of whether $5 is a lot to you, for a lot of people, that's like a very large venti something at Starbucks. And since I don't drink coffee, $5 for me is a huge brain savings right there. So think of it that way. Now, here's another way to think of this. From that same research study that I was just talking about, frequent travelers are more likely to receive a promotion in the last 2 years. And by 18% than the 38% work martyrs. So I'm throwing around a lot of percentages. The bottom line here is you're a happier person and more balanced, and you get along with your coworkers better when you've had breaks. And if you don't take breaks, you're pretty crabby. And people might not like you as much, and that might be why you don't get promotions. So thinking about how you can be happy so that that happiness can translate into your workplace. Now, here's an interesting tidbit. There are gender and generation differences amongst our thoughts in terms of work and vacations. Now, women are more likely than men to say vacation time is extremely important to them. However, women are actually less likely to take vacation than men. What does that say about us crazy women? For most of us women, a lot of us have it, you know, I should say a lot of us in the back of our mind have it that we, you know, are not as committed to our job if we take frequent vacations or if we take our vacation time. Women do have pressures with having children and needing to take time off for their children, but then if they take a vacation on top of that, oh my gosh, my boss might think that I'm not committed to work. Well, not so. Because you're gonna be happier if you take your vacation and you'll be more focused when you come back. Now, women are also more likely to say that guilt and the mountain of work that they would return to would hold them back from taking a vacation. And I'll be honest, in this component, and I'm somewhere sandwiched between Generation X and Baby Boomers if I have to date myself. And I am of the camp that, yes, I feel guilty for taking a vacation, even though I know I need it, even to this day, I feel guilty about it. But I do it because I need it. I need to slow my brain down. I need to rejuvenate. But I also will feel like, oh gosh, the workload. Because prior to a vacation and after a vacation for a doctor, what happens is we try to squeeze everybody we can in before and everybody we can in right after. So the week before and after vacations are usually hell for us. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to be straight up honest. I will usually pack in as many people, work longer hours, just so that my patients are satisfied and we get in everybody so that there's no issues while I'm gone. Because of the type of practice that I have, I'm not a primary care physician per se. I am for some folks, but I'm not your traditional primary care doc. So I'm not an emergency clinic. I'm not a walk-in urgent care situation. And I do rely on folks to go to those places should they have issues while I'm gone. But I still feel guilty sometimes leaving folks, especially when we're just starting to get working with someone's pain and I'm wanting to get them out of pain, you know, as fast as possible. So what do? I double or triple up their appointments the week before I leave, and then I double or triple up the week I get back. So yes, there is more work in my universe, and yes, it is a little daunting, but I've learned over time to just let it go and accept it for what it is and manage it when I get back. Now, there is the concept of a workcation where you can work a little while you're on vacation. And I'll be honest, I do tend to do that because otherwise my emails will get out of control and my messages will get out of control. But I make sure that at least once a year, especially while I'm in the Cayman Islands, I usually don't respond to any messages. And even this time while I was in Canada, I only responded to 2 days of messages. The rest of the time I did take off because it is that important. But it's hard, I'll admit. And this is something that I want to use this podcast as a tool to be like, even I struggle with the societal pressures to work a lot and be dedicated to my practice, and I feel guilty, I really do. But in the end, vacations are so important for your mind, and I do feel so much better, and it does keep me from burnout. And I think for a lot of doctors, vacations are huge because we do burn out. The same thing goes for anybody who works with the general public, individuals in sales, people who are, you know, working on the front lines of customer service, hospitality, but also even, you know, any types of caregivers. You need vacation because it is a high rate of burnout in all of these different career areas. Now let's talk a little bit about generational differences. Millennial women are more likely to feel that there is a culture of silence around vacation. Like, no one talks about it. And there are negative messages about taking time off. Whereas millennial men, they say that their companies do not encourage vacation. So it's kind of interesting that the millennial women and men do feel that there's a culture of silence and non-encouragement of vacation. So that's interesting. But in the millennial population, there's a very big, strong push for that work-life balance. And I think that's something that us older folks can learn from the millennial population, is that millennials really do embrace that work-life balance. And us older folks need to freaking get on the bandwagon with that. Now, here's an interesting component. About half, so this is about 50% of senior leaders who are in the baby boomers generation, say their company culture encourages vacation, compared to just 30% of non-managers, irregardless of their generation status. So when you're a senior leader, it's noted in this article that it's harder for those folks to find time off, even though they're encouraged more to take time off. But a lot of these senior leaders end up leaving vacation time on the table more often than non-managers. Why is that? Well, most likely it goes back to the not having coverage, fearing that if you're not there, your team's not going to be able to handle things, and then trailing out to your workload is going to be even more compounded when you get back. Now, here's one of the things to think about if you're in a senior leadership position, or if you are a millennial in a leadership position. It's all about teamwork. You guys probably heard the quote, teamwork makes the dream work. It does. My assistant and I have a system. And honestly, if I didn't have her, I would probably lose my mind and be in a corner twitching somewhere for a very, very long time. But we have a system. We've created a system so that, yes, there is me stacking patients before and after vacations, but she helps me to streamline through everything. And it works really, really well. And so if you're working in a workplace environment where it's a team effort, and I think every workplace should be a team effort. If it's not, it would be really hard to do things. You want to encourage it and work on it. But the team picks up the slack and everybody makes it work so that every single person can get their vacation. So, something to think about. Because when these folks took their vacations, the research study showed that of the vacation goers, 70% of them came back highly motivated to contribute to the success of their organization compared to the folks who didn't take a vacation. So, interesting components there. So, where do we go on vacation? How long do we go on vacation? How should we go about this? I think a lot of folks wonder, like, what's the ideal time to take for a vacation? Well, according to research, in the Journal of Happiness Studies, by the way, I love that. I think I want to subscribe to that. Journal of Happiness Studies. Always happy. No sad stuff, ever. So in that one of the articles from the Journal of Happiness Studies, they found that the average American takes 4 days for vacation. But research shows that 8 days for vacation is ideal. And the reason being is because that's enough time for your body to rest, relax, and rejuvenate. If you spend more time than 8 days, it finds that there's no added benefit at all. It's not detrimental. There's just no added benefit. So it's like your benefits from being on vacation peak after 8 days. So there you have it. Your ideal vacay, 8 days. Now, of that component, they kind of took the research just a little bit deeper, and they found that in those 8 days, we of course have travel and things of that nature, but those who took 8 days of vacation, who traveled, who actually left their home, felt better than those who took staycations. So, interesting component there. Now, what they didn't quantify on this staycation was the person like held up in their home and didn't go anywhere? Or did they like go to the beach by their house or go hiking by their house? That was not stated. So I don't know on that. But here's an interesting component. So 86% of Americans say that they have not seen enough of their own country. That's reason right there to kind of do a staycation or at least a road trip. With more than 400 national parks in the United States alone, and only 19% of Americans say that they've seen more than five. I'm in that 19%. Woohoo! Now, where are you? More than a quarter, so about 26%, say that they have never been to a national park. And 54% that took the survey said that they have visited two or fewer national parks. I don't know what to say. Like, national parks are huge. Now, I will admit that I've not been to Yellowstone yet. I've drove all the way around that freaking place, but I've never been to Yellowstone. It's on my bucket list, but I've been to quite a few national parks. And I really do challenge you to think, like, how many have you been to? These are huge things. Why do you think you see so many people from foreign countries in the United States at our national parks? They don't have some of the beauty we have here in our own country. So, if you don't want to spend a lot of money on a huge, crazy vacation, hello, road trip, find a national park near you. Go camp there. Sleep in your car if you don't have a tent. Get out. Do it. Man, I can't say enough for getting out in nature. And just unplugging. The quiet alone, I think for a lot of people, is so freaking peaceful. Unfortunately, in my practice, I'll have patients tell me, oh, we're going on vacation for like 3 days. And I'll be like, oh, okay, where are you going? Oh, Vegas. That's not a vacation. I'm sorry. I don't care who you are. Unless you tell me that you're going to Vegas and you're going to go into the Mandarin Oriental spa and not leave for 3 days, I may believe you at that point. But the people watching, the dinging, the ringing, the constant flow of craziness, that's not vacation. I need a vacation from that vacation. In fact, the last time we went to Vegas, we were in Vegas a couple days, and then we went out to Red Rock Canyon and Bootleg Canyon and went around to the nature sites around Las Vegas. Shocking, but they're there, and there's some really majorly beautiful places just outside of Las Vegas. So you can unplug when you go there. So if you found the cheap airfare and you're like, I can stay in Vegas for 3 days for like $75 with airfare. Okay, great. Rent a car and go get out of the city for a little bit and unplug. It's hugely important. The quiet. Whether it's a mountain, whether it's a beach, the idea is finding less people, less crowds. Because I think for a lot of us, we get a little sick of too many people and crowds. And a lot of folks have it on their bucket list to go to these big cities like Chicago and New York and LA and do all these different things that they stacked up so much on their vacation, they don't even know. They didn't even relax because they were too busy trying to, like, check off everything they needed to do on their bucket list of the vacation. You been on a vacation like that ever? I've done that a few times. I did a trip to New York. Thank goodness I flew out of there and went to Istanbul, Turkey, which then I left because Istanbul in and of itself, awesome city, but crazy traffic, crazy amounts of people. But we went to a beach town called Bodrum, which is so relaxing. It's so chill. So if you're going to do a big city, put next to it somewhere where you can get out of that big city and chill. Just something to escape the crazy. Now, I looked up an article by PopSugar from 2018 in terms of the top places to visit if you are stressed. So, islands off the coast of Nicaragua. Yes, please. Those looked amazing. Belize. I've been to Belize. Great country. Yes, the islands are so much more chill than the mainland. Coco Plum Resort. Little plug for them. My husband and I went there on our honeymoon. Oh, amazing. Coco Plum Resort, Belize. Go check it out. Costa Rica. Lots of great places I have heard about in Costa Rica. I've never been there myself, but I've heard that you can get away from the crowds there and you just have to find out, you know, from a local where to go, where to hang out to escape the crowds. Greece. There are some amazing Greek islands that you've never heard of that have like 5 people on them. Okay, I might be exaggerating about 5, but there's not that many people. I love the Greek islands. I think if you are going to look into traveling to Europe and want some solace and some quiet, there's so many Greek islands, like hit them up. But don't think of your typical ones, like Mykonos or, you know, Santorini is good. It's got some quiet spaces, but Syros, look up Syros, look up Tinos. Those are the islands where you can get away from it all. Chile, huge country. I've never been there, but I've heard great place to find some quiet. Ireland, also, never been there, but heard, amazing. Canada, oh, Canada, my favorite. British Columbia, it's where it's at. At least in terms of my opinion, there's just so much mountain, so much water, so much quiet. So amazing. Now, Malaysia. You wouldn't think of this one on the list, but apparently there's some really great beaches that you can find that are insider tips, so might be something if you're up for a huge flight. By the way, we're going to talk a little bit about traveling because it stresses people out a lot. Norway, hearing that's amazing. Japan. My husband and I get to watch the NHK channel here in Washington, and we like to take virtual trips to Japan. I think someday we will. It looks amazing. Now, Israel. We don't often think of Israel for its sandy beaches and its amazingness in terms of solitude, but there are some great places in Israel. I've not been there. My mom went some years ago, and the pictures she brought back were incredible. Morocco. Also heard that's amazing. Dominican Republic. It's kind of known for its all-inclusive vacations and hotels, but I've heard some great things in terms of these all-inclusives aren't as crazy as you think they are. So, you know, think about that. I will put the list of all of those in my podcast notes at drjkrausend.com if you want to check them out. If I mentioned something and you didn't get to write it down fast enough, and, you know, just so you can do some dreaming about your next vacay and planning, because by the way, planning out your vacations ahead of time, huge. And also that's because if you think about it, like 6 to 8 to 12 months ahead of time, you can have it all set. You can save up enough. It's just planning de-stresses you just because you're thinking ahead of time. The logistics are done versus last minute. Now, let's talk a little bit about traveling. So I think there's a lot of people that trip out about traveling for many reasons. Security lines, packing, trying to sleep on a plane. I'm not going to try to convince you that it's easy to sleep on a plane. I don't think anyone listening to this like would ever think that that's possible. But there are things that you should have in your pack to like induce chill while traveling. Number one travel hack that I think everyone should take advantage of is the TSA PreCheck or the Global Entry. For $85 for 5 years, you can have the TSA PreCheck thing. That means you skip the line. You like blow past all those people who are standing there debating whether they're going to make their flight or not. And TSA PreCheck is for domestic flights, so within the US, so domestic travel. Whereas Global Entry, $100 for 5 years for anywhere. I'm opting for that one. Yeah. Now, there's some credit cards that actually will reimburse you for the TSA PreCheck or the Global Entry, like the Chase Sapphire Reserve, if you have that one, and the American Express. There's a specific one that I apparently didn't put in my notes here, but I will make sure that they get to my podcast notes. So check that out. And there's also the PenFed Pathfinder Rewards Card that also gives you some reimbursement for the TSA PreCheck and Global Entry. So check those out. I found those on an article by Forbes.com, and it was from this year, and I found it quite interesting. So I'll put a link to that as well. But I do think that's number one. You got to do that. That way you don't miss your flight. You don't stress out about that. Next thing is how to chill yourself out on the plane. And because I'm a naturopath, I'm always thinking about herbs, holy basil, ashwagandha. These are amazing herbs that you can take to chill yourself out. If you're one of those people that really gets anxious, L-theanine, it's an extract from green tea. You can take up to 1,000 milligrams of L-theanine and you're good to go. But typically the way I'll do it is I'll have folks break it out at 200 milligrams a pop. And then you see where you're at from there. Usually my concoction, I would say not cocktail, but concoction, is one capsule of holy basil from Gaia Herbs, one capsule of ashwagandha from Gaia Herbs, and two L-theanines, and I'm good. I used to have like an Ambien and all kinds of stuff, but at this point, I'm all natural. So there's that. If you're wondering about seats and considering some of the things that have happened on unfortunate airlines recently with random windows popping out, you can go to seatguru.com and find the right seat for you before you choose your seat on your flight. So seatguru.com, it's all about logistics here for de-stressing you. Now, the other biggie that you absolutely have to have in addition to your TSA PreCheck or Global Entry is noise-canceling headphones. Hands down, get Bose. I just sounded like it's from Canada. Bose noise-canceling headphones. Lifesaver. Why? Because nobody likes a screaming child on an airplane. I don't care who you are. Even if you're the parent of the kid, you're like, oh my God, I can't believe my kid's screaming. This is awful. No. Just get some noise-canceling headphones and all's good. Get yourself an eye pillow, a neck pillow, and a blanket to prop you up whichever way you might need to go, because let's face it, you just need to like bolster your back or put your head somewhere in some different position. That blanket can prop you and keep you warm at the same time. And that you should have in your little pack that you bring onto the plane. Now, my other big advice for traveling and de-stressing yourself is if you're flying overseas or you've got a flight that's going to change your time frame by at least 8 hours or more, I recommend not eating. So fasting. Sounds kind of crazy, but we've all talked about intermittent fasting. And if you haven't heard about intermittent fasting, it's a great way to help with boosting weight loss. But if you fast before flying and don't eat on the plane, you don't eat till you get to your location, or you don't eat till the next morning, it will help to reset your circadian rhythms and help fight jet lag. It'll also help fight gas and bloat. Because, let's face it, drinking alcohol before getting on a plane dehydrates you faster, and then eating junk food totally bloats you while your body's all compressed in that tiny little seat that's made for ants. No bueno. You don't want that. So consider fasting. And literally, like, I've done it where if my flight left at 10 o'clock at night, I just stopped eating, like, dinner time here, and then I don't eat again till the next day when I get to my destination so that I can set my circadian rhythm better. So, huge important thing there. The other biggie is electrolytes. Ultima electrolyte drink. It's like a powder. You can put it into water. I love to use that while traveling because it helps. It just helps with overall just feeling better, keeping you alert, and just keeping the body in check. It regulates your sodium and potassium levels. It helps with preventing cramps in your legs. Granted, you need to stand up and move around a little bit if it's more than a 2-hour flight, just saying. But it's good for you. So there you have it. Now, if packing stresses you out, there are two folks online that I found that have really great resources. We've got the IndieTraveler.co and we have the NomadicMat.com, and both of them have really great resources for general packing light and ladies packing light, because I think one of the biggest things that I see people struggling with at the airport is that they have like 55 bags and they've got like, you've seen them, they're like one huge duffel bag that's overstuffed, a backpack on their back, and then they've got the roller bag. It's out of control, and you're like, wow, this person would never like even attempt to lift that much weight in a normal day in a normal workout. But now they're trying to schlep themselves with all that through the airport and like with their three kids. Crazy. Don't stress yourself out like that. Pack light. Gosh, my husband and I are probably for our next trip to the Cayman Islands gonna take our swimsuit, like two pairs of shorts and two shirts and flip-flops, because we don't usually wear anything else. So we're like, what's the point of even paying for luggage when we barely wear anything that's in that suitcase? Same thing should go for you if you're thinking about the rising costs of airfare combined with how everything's kind of a la carte. You got to pay for a premium seat. You got to pay for your luggage and your overhead luggage and blah, blah, blah. You got to pay to breathe on the plane. I'm kidding. But it seems like that. And that's stressful in and of itself. It might be a barrier to why you wouldn't want to travel. But if you're packing light, shoot, just plan to wash your clothes. There's that store at SeaTac here in Seattle. It's called Ex Officio. You can like wear the same underwear for like 3 months. Probably not, but it's travel underwear. It's cool. It's like $40 a pair of underwear. But the concept is that everything dries quickly, so you could wash things. You could do your whole laundry in your sink in your hotel room. And hey, I have been on trips, especially when I went with a girlfriend through Greece and Turkey. We did that. We had really light packs, and it worked out really well. Don't be ashamed to wear the same thing over again twice. Nobody's freaking paying attention. I'm serious. So, there you have it. Now, if those are any of your barriers, I've just blown those out of the water, and I will have notes for you on every single one of those in my podcast notes at drjkrausnd.com. So, let me leave you with a couple of thoughts before we end today's podcast. Why in the universe would we really want to take a vacation? Other than you can't stand work, your coworkers are driving you nuts, and you just are screaming to get out of there. Well, vacations, obviously, like we've mentioned, reduce stress. We all know that. But what exactly does that mean? It means it helps with your heart rate. It helps keep your heart strong and healthy, especially ladies. Because ladies who do not take vacations are 50% more likely to have a heart attack. Guys who don't take vacations are 30% more likely to have a heart attack. This data comes from the Framingham study that's been going on for years and years about how lifestyle affects our health. And our hearts are key components. It's why people, like 9 a.m. is the most popular time for a heart attack on a Monday morning. Monday morning, 9 a.m., most popular time for a heart attack because we're stressed going back to work. So you can improve your heart function. And because heart disease is the number one killer of females, it's crucial, something to really think about. Vacations also adjust your mood, adjust your perspective on life. When you can find clarity and quiet because all of your distractions have been removed, it's an eye-opening, amazing thing. And I think for a lot of us, we don't slow down enough to take the time to smell the roses, to quiet our mind. And this is what vacation's all about. It adjusts your mood. It reduces depression. It reduces anxiety. There are so many studies out there that over and over again prove that. And so when we're stressed, we get mood issues. We get moodier. And in fact, when we're stressed, we end up being grumpy pants people that other people don't like to be around. And so being able to go out and take a vacation can also help you to be more liked by your coworkers, which, hey, let's face it, that's a big deal. And for a lot of people, the importance of unplugging is huge, because I think most of us are tied to our computers, our cell phones. Some of us are addicted to our cell phones. We can't actually peel ourselves away from it. Any second we're not doing something, we're staring at our phone. And that's hard on your brain. It's hard on your skin even, because that blue light is just like sunlight and can age you faster. All that staring at screens for so many years and hours compounded. So de-stressing yourself can be a mental, it can be a physical, it can be an emotional, but it can also be a very topical experience, like I said, for your skin. Getting away from all the tech. It can be relaxing for your muscles because you're not hunched over your work. You might be able to get a chance to do some yoga. You might get a chance to just be. And just being is probably the most important thing in the whole universe for reducing stress. Because just being means that you are doing absolutely nothing but breathing. And that is a beautiful thing. So, I've taken you through why you need a vacation. I went through a lot of statistics. If you are a statistics geek like I am, go over to projecttimeoff.com, where you can find all kinds of stats on why you need to take a vacation, and perhaps maybe things that you can pass on to friends, family members, or coworkers so that they can see why they may need to take a vacation as well. I also have some de-stressing vacation ideas. I have the packing light tips for you, and the packing light tips especially for ladies, because let's face it, ladies, we struggle sometimes to pack light. I'm so guilty as well. Plus, I'll also have the information at drjkrausnd.com on the TSA pre-check in addition to the global entry, because I think those things are really important things to have if you have a barrier to travel because you don't like waiting in lines, you don't like the hassles of travel, because there are ways to hack it and do it right. So, you have survived another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause. Have a great day, whatever you're doing. Hey everybody, Dr. Janine Krause here. If you liked what you heard today, then head over to drjkrausnd.com to find my free resources and information to know when I post something new that's juicy that you might want to check out. Plus, head over to where you get your podcasts and like, subscribe, and write a review to help get the word out about me and help others at the same time to find me. It really does help, and I really appreciate all of your reviews.